නමෝ තස්සේ භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්සේ නමෝ තස්සේ භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්සේ නමෝ තස්සේ භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්සේ ආනාපාන සති භික්කවේ භාවිතා බහුලී කතා මහප්පලා හෝති මහානිසංසාති. Dear Dhamma friends, as you all know, we were discussing Anapanasati Sutta, which is available in Majjhima Nikaya. And we actually have gone through it to some extent now. Actually, we have covered how Buddha approached the sutta, where many monks were practicing diligently and many arahants were instructing them. And then actually Buddha decided to stay that Migaramatupasada, where the monastery which is offered by Visakha. So Buddha decided to stay there for a longer time in order to facilitate the ongoing meditating process. And then after that, Buddha again see that monks are quite diligent and they are doing really well. And there are arahants among them, there are non-returners among them, there are once returners among them, and there are stream winners among them. And further, there are still others who are practicing. So in order to further enhance their practice, so Buddha is giving Anapanasati or mindfulness on breathing as a meditation technique. So here, the technique is well organized. It is not the mere mindfulness on breathing. There are various other techniques were also available, and now Buddha is coming up with a very systematic approach, using which actually one can develop all four foundations of mindfulness. And again, if one is able to develop all four foundations of mindfulness, then Buddha mentioned, as you can see, all seven enlightenment factors can be fulfilled. And when all seven enlightenment factors are systematically developed, one can achieve Maggapala, path fruition, or the knowledge and freedom. So therefore, this method explained in this Anapanasati Sutta is a complete method, a complete approach explained, starting from the very basics and then slowly developing Kayanupassana, and then leading to Vedananupassana, then leading to Chittanupassana, and then leading to Dhammanupassana. And Dhammanupassana actually helps to further enhance one's wisdom, applying the Vipassana techniques to all three other foundations of mindfulness. And as one is developing systematically like this, the seven enlightenment factors are developed. Now we actually are explaining how enlightenment factors are being developed. Actually, during the last time, I have explained how enlightenment factors are being developed in Kayanupassana. And today I hope to explain how enlightenment factors are being developed in Vedananupassana. So there are four steps in Vedananupassana, as you can see here: experiencing rapture, experiencing happiness, experiencing mental formations, and tranquilizing mental formations. So these are the four factors explained in the Vedananupassana section coming under Anapanasati Sutta. And let's see how enlightenment factors are being developed in this section. As you can remember, Buddha starts explaining seven enlightenment factors with mindfulness, sati, sati sambojjhanga, mindfulness enlightenment factor. So there also it is not the mere application of bare attention that causes to develop sati sambojjhanga. Rather, mindfulness has to be properly established. Say, for example, when one is just trying to develop anapanasati, so his mind may wander, so many distractions, and he may in a kind of a struggle to keep his attention on breath. So at that time he may time to time succeed, but that part we can't say is the development of enlightenment factor of mindfulness, because there is no kind of a unwavering type of mindfulness. But later, as one develop or progress in one's practice, he slowly is able to maintain mindfulness for a longer time. Now there may be 10 breaths, now there may be 20 breaths, now there may be 30 breaths. So likewise, he is enhancing his mindfulness. And there could be a situation. Now he doesn't need to struggle at all. Mind remains with the breath constantly for a longer period of time, and a fair amount of mindfulness is now established. So that is the point Buddha say that one is starting to develop mindfulness enlightenment factor. So same way Buddha explained the Vedanupassana, mindfulness on breathing, sorry, mindfulness on feelings. Now, once the bodily formations are calmed down, as we discussed previous occasion, so now there are various feelings going to arise. It may be sort of rapturous feelings. It may be pleasurable feelings. It may be feelings like floating in the air, or your body feeling a little bit of tranquilized, or like waves coming and immersing. So likewise, different pleasurable experiences could be manifested. Now, typically what happens is when we go through such pleasurable feelings, we want to have them more, we want to keep them longer, and again we want to have them again. So that is the typical attachment we have to any pleasurable feeling. And we claim them as mine, and we want to enjoy, and we are delighted by those pleasurable feelings. But here, when one is practicing Vedanupassana, so he has a different perspective where he can look at pleasurable feelings as pleasurable feelings without attaching to them or without being attracted to them, without claiming them as me or mine. He can simply watch pleasurable feelings. So now, just by watching the pleasurable feeling, also we can't say that he immediately starts developing mindfulness enlightenment factor, sati sambojjhanga. Rather, now different pleasurable feelings are arising again and again. He can now continuously watch those pleasurable feelings without any lapses. And again, it is not the same place these pleasurable feelings may arise. So they may arise at different places. Now the yogi is capable of keeping his attention anywhere in the body. So that skill is something that we have to develop. So actually this skill we being developed while we do walking meditation. Say when your left foot is touching the ground, so you can immediately keep your attention there. When your right foot is touching the ground at a different place, you can keep your attention immediately there. So this is a kind of a systematic training that we go through, where one can focus one's attention properly at any place. Now that skill that we've been developed can be utilized here as well. Now you are having kind of an overview of the whole body, and you don't know where the next feeling going to be arised. But when it is going to arise, when it is arising, you can quickly keep your attention there. So, and assume that feeling fades away and there's a new feeling going to arise. You can immediately keep your attention there. So likewise, you can maintain unbroken mindfulness, continuous mindfulness, whenever different feelings are going to arise. So this is the place we can say, now the yogi starts to develop mindfulness enlightenment factor, sati sambojjhanga, using Vedanupassana. Different pleasurable feelings are arising, and he doesn't miss any pleasurable feelings, he can watch them. And those may be rapturous feelings, those may be floating type of experiences, and maybe even kind of comfortable feelings. So the two steps explaining the Vedanupassana, Piti Patisangvedi Asasi Samiti Sikkati and Sukha Patisangvedi Asasi Samiti Sikkati. When you are going through some rapturous feelings, joyful feelings, comfortable feelings, happiness, pleasure, so all those you can watch objectively, continuously, without any breaks or any kind of disturbance to your mindfulness. So then we can say one is developing mindfulness enlightenment factor. So as you do it again and again, next day also you are doing it, another day you are doing it. So likewise, you are doing it continuously, And as you do that, so this mindfulness enlightenment factor is continuously developing. And as you are progressing, it is also progressing. And now once the mindfulness enlightenment factor is fairly established, you don't stop there. And you got to watch these feelings very carefully. Now this is where we are looking at them objectively rather than trying to enjoy them or delight with them. We can simply watch them and investigate them. So now we are introducing this investigation to the practice. Different pleasurable feelings are arising. Now you are carefully observing them. How they are arising? And is it a single pleasurable feeling? Or is it a collection of minute pleasurable feelings? And if you are able to recognize minute pleasurable feelings, are you able to carefully focus your attention to a single minute pleasurable feeling and watch it very carefully so that you can understand how quickly it is arising and passing away? So all these actually indicate how carefully and how precisely you are watching these pleasurable feelings. So this actually shows the investigation that you are doing, or the very refined examination that you are doing, and which is actually contribution to the investigation enlightenment factor, or Dhamma Vichaya Sambojjhanga. So there Buddha mentioned, on whatever occasion abiding thus mindful, a bhikkhu investigates and examines that state with wisdom and embarks upon a full inquiry into it. On that occasion, the investigation of states, enlightenment factor, is arrived. Now, as you are doing it again and again, to many different types of feelings arising. You are already mindful, and once you are mindful, you are now investigating as well. And you are looking at those different feelings from many different angles and trying to understand them fully, and trying to understand their behavior, how they arise, maybe even what causes they are making them, and how long they are living, existing. So likewise, many information, many detail that you are retrieving, and this actually promotes investigation enlightenment factor. And while you are doing this, actually you may have to have a very quiet mind. And you can't do with noting or any distractions while doing this kind of a very subtle activity, because the attention has to be well focused, and your full mental power, mental energy has to be there. So as you are doing it, you can see there may be different pleasurable feelings arise, and you have to do it continuously. And those pleasurable feelings also arise at different places. And in order to do that, you need fair amount of energy. Your mental energy has to be fully involved in this process. You can't have much distractions. Rather, your full attention has to be fully available with you in order to investigate. Now, this requires fair amount of energy. And this is how you are applying energy or applying effort, and that is how actually the energy enlightenment factor or the Virya Sambojjhanga is going to develop. Because sometimes these pleasurable feelings might not be very evident. Sometimes you have to very carefully focus your attention. So at that time you have to very carefully maintain energy. If you put too much energy, that also harmful. And if you don't put enough energy, that also not successful. Then probably you might fall asleep. So likewise, very delicate balance has to be maintained in order to observe these different types of feelings. And you are now going through it. Now, as you are doing it, there may be even other steps going to arise, like these pleasurable feelings may subside, they might disappear, and there is a possibility of arising different perceptions. different signs. So those also has to be carefully handled, and you have to be mindful about them. And again, you have to watch them objectively rather than being deluded by them. As I explained you when I am explaining Vedana, so there is a possibility when gross feelings are subsided, very subtle marks, subtle signs, perceptions, sannya could arise. And if we give any value to them, if we give much emphasis to them, if we attribute a person to them, then we get deluded. So we have to look those perceptions also objectively, those signs also objectively, and we should recognize them as mental signs or mental images, rather than attributing a person to it. So this requires a fair amount of wisdom, and this is also investigation. So you are bringing a fair amount of wisdom, and you are applying it here. You are carefully recognizing different signs, perceptions, and you know them as perceptions, and you are not misled or misunderstood them as a person. So that is also coming under investigation. And sometimes we have to have energy also here, because if mind get deluded, thinking that this is a beautiful image, this is this and that, so at that time we have to arouse energy to pull it back, to pull your mind back to the understanding that this is not a person, rather this is an image, mental image. So likewise, these different stages that we go through in Vedanupassana contributes to the development of enlightenment factors. And later, when we are maintaining fair amount of energy, necessary amount of energy, then the process starts to happen smoothly, and there are different pleasurable feelings arising, and you can watch them objectively. So things are happening smoothly. Different feelings are arising, and you are readily able to watch them. And different perceptions are also arising, and you can observe them objectively without any issue. So now the process is going on well. So as a result of that, Buddha mentioned the tranquility enlightenment factor, or the piti, sorry, piti sambojjhanga can arise because things are happening smoothly. Things are happening smoothly, and now actually it is not difficult to arouse piti because what you are experiencing is also joyful. So as a result of that, the piti sambojjhanga is also developing. And when these, rough kind of pleasurable feelings are subsided, there may be subtle pleasurable feelings are arising, and those might feel like happy, pleasing, comfortable, and that actually contributes to the development of tranquility enlightenment factor, passaddi sambojjhanga. So at the very early stage, passaddi might not be available, tranquility might not be available, because you are still establishing mindfulness. Different feelings are arising, and now you are sort of refining your mindfulness, focusing your attention. So at that time we can't say the tranquility is available. But once you are well established and watching them objectively, and once you examine them carefully, so now different aspects of those pleasurable feelings are available, visible. Now the process is going on well. Now as a result of that, we reach to the level that even these feelings, perceptions, starts to calm down, because we were not get deluded by them. We were able to handle them properly. We were able to look at them objectively. As a result of that, these pleasurable feelings, perceptions, start to calm down. So that actually promotes the development of tranquility enlightenment factor. It's tranquilizing. You can see in the fourth, so the 11th, sorry, 7 and 8, experiencing mental formations and tranquilizing mental formations. So that happens in the Vedanupassana. At the beginning, you are simply experiencing rapturous and happy, pleasurable feelings, and you are able to observe them. And as a result of that, it starts to calm down. And then there could be sort of perceptions, marks, signs, mental images going to arise. So that also you are handling properly. You are investigating them properly, you understood them objectively, rather than personifying them, rather than attributing a person or a thing to it. You are able to look at it carefully, properly. Now the investigation has happened properly. So you are able to develop further enlightenment factors. Now, as a result of that, now these different perceptions, different feelings start to calm down. They are not really growing because we are not making any contribution towards them. We are not feeding them. We are not adding anything to it. And we are not constructing anything out of them. Now, typically what happens is when a feeling arises, we want to have them, we want to claim it as mine, I want to say prolong it, I want to have it in the future. So likewise, we do a lot of additions and we are putting our own stuff to it. And again, when there is an image, mental image appearing in the mind, that also same. So we are adding to it, we are adding a value to it, we attribute a person to it, and we start to think about that person. So these are all additions, these are all constructions, fabrications, sanskara. So now here, we are fairly handling it properly, not doing any such additions, not introducing any kind of constructions, not doing any sort of manipulations, not doing any kind of fabrications. So it's a very intelligent kind of a process. You have to be quite wise to maintain that balance, that equanimity. And if you are handling it properly, without constructing, without fabricating these feelings and perceptions, then it's naturally they come and go. They simply cease. And therefore, these mental formations start to calm down, tranquilize. Now, as a result of that, you can say the tranquility enlightenment factor is further strengthened. So, when they are calming down, actually, you can see the mindfulness is available, investigation is available, but not much detail available. At the beginning, there are many details available, but now all mental formations are calming down and details are becoming blurred. They start to fade away. So, promoting tranquility and even promoting samadhi, because the mind is now calming down. It is becoming more and more peaceful. And when whatever occasion the mind becomes concentrated in a bhikkhu whose body is tranquil and who feels pressure, on that occasion the concentration enlightenment factor going to arise. Now tranquility is available and you feel comfortable and everything's quite smooth. And the body also is calm, there are no any kind of hitches, no obstacles. So the body also calm, tranquil, so the mind get concentrated easily. So in order for mind to get concentrated, it is not the mere effort that we need to have. We actually have to have a very good conducive environment for the mind to get concentrated. Sometimes people start to concentrate the mind without having these prerequisites. Now, where Buddha mentioned very clearly here, so mind becomes concentrated because body is tranquil and the mental formations are also now tranquil. And as a result of that, you feel pleasurable and body is comfortable, feeling happy. So the mind doesn't want to wander. Now, mind is wandering, getting distracted in search of happiness, in search of pleasure. But now, happiness, comfort, contentment is available internally, therefore, mind doesn't want to wander. Now, this is a very mature kind of a concentration. It is not that you are using, say, may effort to restrict the mind to a particular place. Rather, kind of a systematic development has happened, so mind slowly understood fair amount of reality. So as a result of that, mind doesn't want to go out now, and he is quite happy to stay at home. Now the concentration is developing. And actually here concentration also we can say different, and it is evolving. Now at the very early stage, now suppose there is a rapturous feeling, so that you have to observe very carefully, and exactly to that rapturous feeling your mind is being concentrated, focused. So sometimes we call it as Kanika Samadhi, momentary concentration. So different feelings are arising, and you can quickly keep your attention there, and your mind is well focused, well concentrated to that pleasurable feeling. There's another pleasurable feeling arise, and you can quickly focus your attention there, and mind get concentrated there. So likewise, whatever the phenomena arising, you can quickly concentrate your mind there. So that we call as momentary concentration. But assume now different perceptions are arising, and there also you are very clearly recognizing, okay, this is an image, this is a mental image. You can distinguish it. And that is also, we can say, kind of momentary concentration. Now, when feelings and perceptions calm down, there is nothing much to concentrate. There are not many objects available. All the objects are now very much like fading away. As a result of that, mental formations are tranquilizing. So now mind get calm, mind become peaceful, mind become tranquil, and you feel kind of happiness, comfort, and mind get concentrated. Now this is a different kind of concentration. It is not a momentary type of concentration. This is more, I mean, has little bit of tranquility aspects, or samatha aspects are there. You can see you are developing vipassana, and it is leading to samatha. Some samatha qualities are also now supporting. So these are really kind of a blend of these qualities. So you can't therefore say only the vipassana is there, but samatha aspects are also then and there available. They are really coordinating each other, helping each other, contributing each other. And when the mind and the feelings and perceptions are tranquilizing, so the concentration is available. So the concentration enlightenment factor going to develop. And you are doing it, or you are going through this process again and again. So the concentration enlightenment factor being developed further and further. And you can even maintain this stage for a long time. There the concentration is further developed. So previously when we were investigating different feelings, the momentary concentration being developed, but not the tranquilizing kind of concentration is much developed, because you have to do a task. There are many phenomena arising as a series, and you are quickly, readily investigating them. So the tranquility is not to this level. But when the whole process calms down, tranquilizing, now mind is more into the tranquility. Mind is more into the calming down, to the peace, to the stillness. So the concentration enlightenment factor is developing. And when things are happening smoothly, you have nothing to do. Now everything has calmed down. You went through the whole process. Different feelings also have calmed down. Different perceptions also you have handled properly. And everything has calmed down. And now just watch. Watch the process. Stay still. So this is where the equanimity going to develop. Because things are in a well-balanced situation, and mental formations are calmed down, and you have nothing to do. It's a matter of just be. So here the equanimity enlightenment factor is developed. on whatever occasion a bhikkhu closely looks on with equanimity at the mind thus concentrated, on that occasion the equanimity enlightenment factor aroused. Now we can't say that we have equanimity equanimity of this quality at the very beginning. So you can see in the beginning stages Vedana Anupassana, what we have is rapturous feelings. Those are pleasurable feelings. But those also we can look at objectively without being attracted to them. So in that sense we have some kind of equanimity. We are not being attracted to them. We are able to look at them objectively. We are witnessing them. But in terms of the feeling time, feeling tone, so it's a kind of a pleasurable feeling. And when different perceptions are available, there also we have to have some sort of a middle path without being biased to them, without putting our own stuff to it, likes and dislikes into it. So we have to have a very equanimous attitude. So therefore a kind of equanimity is available. But when things are further calming down, and the activities that you need to do become less and less. So now it's a matter of just resting, just being at the back seat and watching the process. So there you can see the equanimity has become more prominent, because the process is going on, it has fairly calmed down, there is nothing much to do, simply watch, simply rest. So the equanimity enlightenment factor being developed. Now we can progress to Chittanupassana as well, and how during Chittanupassana now the enlightenment factor being developed. Now you can see when we are reaching Vedanupassana, things have fairly calmed down and you have experienced fair amount of concentration and you have some amount of understanding. And you can clearly watch these different feelings and different elements. So that indicates develop mindfulness and develop clear comprehension, sati and sampajanya. So with that actually we can safely go to Chittanupassana. Because as you can remember, Buddha makes a warning not to involve with Chittanupassana if you don't have proper mindfulness and clear comprehension. But now once we are going through this whole process, we are gaining those skills, we are developing those skills. And with that developed skills, now we can safely involve with Chittanupassana. Actually, we are not purposely doing it, rather automatically you may get into it. So that is the quality of Dhamma, where it is bringing you to the next stage. It is not that you purposely going to the next stage. So as you are developing one stage, and once you are maturing there, automatically you will be going to the next stage. That's the beauty of the Dhamma. Now here also, now probably you are experiencing different feelings and perceptions and all, everything has calmed down and you are now simply watching them equanimously. And at that time now you can little relax your attention. You can ease your concentration. You can loosen your concentration, so that you are coming to a little bit of surface. Rather than being in the very deep concentration, you are loosening your concentration, so that you are coming to the little bit of surface. Now as a matter of that, what happens? Again different thoughts can arise. So your mind can drift to the past, drift to the future, or different feelings, perceptions can arise, and different kinds of thoughts can arise. But the important thing is you can carefully watch them. And each and every thought can be watched objectively. Rather than being deluded by these thoughts, rather than constructing these thoughts, you can precisely watch them. One thought arising and it is disappearing. Another thought arising, it is disappearing. Another thought arising, it is disappearing. So you have continuous unbroken mindfulness. Different thoughts are there, but you are able to watch them carefully, objectively, with unbroken mindfulness. So the mindfulness enlightenment factor being developed. And when you are watching very carefully each and every thought, and you are able to recognize them, this is a lustful thought, this is an angry thought, this is a jealousy thought, oh, this is a loving kindness thought, this is a faithful thought, whatever it is. So you know the exact quality as well, you know exactly who they are. So this is actually investigation. So you have a better understanding about them. And the investigation enlightenment factor also developed. Because you know exactly what they are. You are not being fooled by them. And again, you are not misunderstood them. You exactly know what it is. And you can watch them objectively. You have that proper perspective. And then when if there is a kind of a gladdening happens, so you even can watch it carefully without being deluded by them. And you are objectively looking at it. And if the mind tranquilizes, so then you can simply watch it. So you are maintaining actually a very delicate balance. Because the bodily formations are calmed down, mental formations are calmed down. Now different sankharas, thoughts, wholesome and unwholesome thoughts might arise. And those also now calming down. So in order to do that, you are just maintaining a very beautiful balance. So this is where the effort is very properly managed. It is not that you are putting too much effort, and it is not you are not having effort. You are having necessary amount of effort to maintain the balance. Now, as you are continuing, sometimes the mind gets gladdened. So at that time, the rupture enlightenment factor, or Piti Sambojjhanga, being developed. And when further mind is calming down, even thoughts disappear, thoughts calm down, so the tranquility is there. So tranquilizing the mind, and you are simply maintaining that. So the tranquility enlightenment factor being developed. And mind is now well concentrated. So the concentration enlightenment factor being developed. So here also concentration begins with momentary concentration, where different thoughts are arising and you are quickly able to pay attention to them. And momentarily you are concentrated with that thought. But later when thoughts all disappear and you are enjoying some sort of a tranquility, so there the concentration is different. It's a kind of a tranquility-oriented concentration. And assume that all thoughts even calm down, all disappeared. Now, already different bodily formations also disappeared. The feelings disappeared. Perceptions also disappeared, calm down. And now different thoughts arisen and those also calm down. Now there is nothing. So the mind has become fairly empty. Mind is free from any sankhara. So at that time, simply just be. Just maintain that tranquility. Just maintain that stillness. Just maintain that equanimity. Just maintain that blank kind of state of mind. Blank in the sense you are not being sort of puzzled or doubtful about it. It's a matter of calming down all the waves in the mind. So mind has reached a very tranquil but deep kind of state without attached to anything, without attracted to anything. And all the feelings, perceptions, mental formations, everything has calmed down. So you are maintaining a very beautiful balance without any object, without any phenomena to observe. So this is another level of equanimity, or very mature level of equanimity that we may come across. So that equanimity is available when you are reaching the step 12 in Chittanupassana. So the mind is fairly free. Mind has become liberated from any phenomena. So mind is not colored now. feelings are not coloring the mind, perceptions are not coloring the mind, and different bodily formations are not sort of conditioning the mind. So mind is in its own freedom, enjoying its own freedom. So at that time, just a matter of resting, relaxing, enjoying that stillness, just be. So that is where a very mature level of equanimity is required. So the mind may stay there, maintaining that emptiness, and you are simply observing it, maintaining it, with the maintaining that balance, and you are enjoying that emptiness, and the mind is equanimous. So the equanimity enlightenment factor being developed. So you are coming to these stages again and again. So these qualities are developed in different proportions. You can't say you have the same kind of equanimity at the beginning. So at the beginning, different thoughts are available. You are still have some kind of an equanimity. That is not to being attracted or not to being repelled by those thoughts. Suppose there is a angry thought available. So you are not trying to reject it. But you are maintaining some kind of an equanimity, kind of a non-judgmental attitude. And suppose there is a very beautiful loving kindness thought. So you are not trying to promote it. You are not trying to enhance it or being attracted to it. Rather, there also you are maintaining a non-judgmental attitude. That is an equanimity. But when everything disappeared, everything ceased, now nothing is there. So it's a matter of another level of equanimity, more mature level of equanimity, without being doubtful and without putting yourself into drowsiness or sleepiness and without arousing any other formations. Just be, just maintain that beautiful balance. So this balance is not a mere kind of equanimous feeling, but it is powered with wisdom. So you have gone through this whole process, has acquired fair amount of understanding. So with that backing, that with that support coming through the wisdom, now you are maintaining such kind of equanimity. So it's a more mature kind of equanimity. So you can see the different enlightenment factors are being developed in different proportions. During the Kaya Anupassana, during the Vedana Anupassana, and now during the Chitta Anupassana. And let's further discuss this again on next week. And with that, I like to conclude today's Sutta teaching session. Now I like to open the session for question and answers.
So if we have any friends joining us for the very first time, you may ask questions right now by raising your hand or by sending them via the chat.
Good, no more questions.
Have a very contemplating
today. Contemplating, yes. Everybody calm down, tranquility.
Yeah. So I'd like to invite
Pumudini,
please ask the question.
Thank you, Jennifer. My question is, I was just listening to this your explanation. Experiencing Vedana Anupassana, experiencing rapture, experiencing happiness, and mental formations and how do you recognize those mental formations?
Actually, as I mentioned, mental formations, the Pali word is Chitta Sankhara. The Chitta Sankhara is a term explaining very basic or primary levels of chaitasika, primary levels of mental formation. So that is recognized as feelings and perceptions. So different feelings and perceptions are collectively named as mental formations at here, Chitta Sankhara. Now, feelings actually you can understand. That could be pleasurable feelings, painful feelings, equanimous feelings, that you can understand. So other type of mental formation is the perceptions. Those are the mental images. So different mental images might appear in your mind.
You're not saying an image per se, but it's just a thought, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, thing is, any thought has all these four attributes. So it may have a kind of a feeling, it may have a mental image, that is a perception part, and it is a thought, of course. It may be angry thought, lustful thought, whatever, that quality is also there. And it is appearing in the mind, so the vijnana, consciousness is also there. So likewise, the four mental aspects are there, but among those four mental aspects, at here, actually we are sort of understanding more into the perception part. Not to the feeling part, not to the feeling part. Feeling part fairly subsided, but the perception part become more prominent.
I see. Okay, thank you, Pante.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure what was meant by that.
Yeah, actually another point is, we don't need to purposely make it prominent. So if it is becoming prominent, we have to properly understand it. Because we don't know which part become prominent. We don't know whether the feeling part become prominent, or we don't know whether the perception part become prominent, or we don't know whether the other quality, like the anger quality, loving kindness quality, lust quality, likewise different other mental formations, other what that's also called as mental formations, mano sankhara. So that is actually the sankhara part, sankhara skandha. So we don't know which part going to be prominent, and whatever the part becoming prominent, we are not getting deluded by it, and we know what exactly it is, and we can watch it equanimously, we can watch it objectively. So that is what is important. And
Prante, my confusion was because you're talking about rapture and happiness.
Mm-hmm.
So how can you have angry feelings and things like that if you're
having
rapture as
that? No. Anger,
no,
sorry,
understand.
rapture and happiness available at the Vedanupassana section, and
yes.
The other angry feelings, lustful feelings, loving kindness thoughts, sorry, those kind of thoughts can arise when we loosen our concentration at the Chittanupassana level.
I see. Okay, right.
Because,
I got it. Thank you.
Yeah, because we allow things to happen a little bit, rather than keeping mind in at a very heightened concentration. Rather, we loosen the concentration so that mind can play a little. Because we are now confident.
Right.
We are now confident that
right.
I can manage it. I can watch everything objectively. Whatever arise, I can carefully, objectively look at it. So that's why I am now allowing the mind to little play.
I see. Thank you, Prante.
Yeah.
Understood it now.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Teruvan Sannai.
Okay, thank you. For the next question, I'd like to invite Tita Devi.
Yes, thank you, Jane, sir. Now, Prante, my question is that when we are having these feelings, experiencing, after the rapture and happiness, we are feeling tranquility under the Vedanupassana, the mind also gets tranquil at that time, Bhante, because when you have tranquility of feelings, the mind also automatically gets, it happens very quickly now.
Yes. Now, actually, we are going through different processes. That's as I explained to Kumidini. Now, at the Vedanupassana level, of course, the feelings and perceptions are tranquilizing. That is referred as a tranquilizing mental formations. But then when we reach Chittanupassana, if we simply maintain that level with a heightened concentration, then we cannot experience the full spectrum of Chittanupassana. So that's why we have to little bit loosen our concentration with confidence, because we know that I went through the process, everything is really good, and I have a fair amount of mindfulness wisdom now. So let me come to the surface. So as a result of that, now different thoughts might arise. So, but here we are not looking at the perception or the feelings, rather we are looking at their different qualities. Whether is it an angry thought, ill will thought, or is it a, say, lustful thought, is it a loving kindness thought, is it a faithful thought, is it a kind of a restlessness kind of thought. So different ways that we can look at. So at that time we are giving more kind of a freedom to the mind to play, and now we are actually confronting other attributes of the mind, other different levels of the mind. Now that also we can look at objectively. Now we allow them to play, but we can step back and watch it. And they are coming and going, they are coming and going. Now we are understanding their nature and how they play, how they used to come to the mind and trying to tempt us, but we are more wise and we are not promoting, we are not feeding them, so they themselves start to cease. So that is also contributing a lot to vipassana, because we understand how the sankhara khanda, different formations are arising and passing away. So that is also contributing to wisdom. And when that is being tranquilized, now that tranquility happens more in a shallow level. Shallow in the sense, I mean, you are not in a very restricted kind of a concentrated state, rather mind is more relaxed and more peaceful and more tranquil. Now if you consider typical concentration practice, say samatha practice, as you are furthering your practice, you are becoming more and more deeply concentrated, your faculties become somewhat restricted in that sense. But here we can actually concentrate our mind, but that is not the point. Rather than concentrating and restricting the mind, now we are relaxing the mind so that different mental formations can appear if they want. If there are different tendencies available in the mind, so they can appear, they can manifest. But we can watch them carefully, and we are quite wise in a way, and we are quite confident also. I can handle them, so that's why I am allowing the mind to play. Now, even at that level, when everything calmed down, so we are in a more comfortable, more tranquil, and more not really a restricted kind of concentration, but more kind of relaxed concentration. So that is the calming down of mind happens at the Chittanupassana, and ultimately the freeing of the mind happens in the Chittanupassana, liberating mind, where you are more in a tranquil, calm, peaceful kind of a concentration, not in a restricted kind of concentration. Actually, there's a big difference. Now, you see, in the samatha concentration, we are using maybe a single object, and again we are applying our mind to that single object, and so that we are restricting our focus. We are narrowing down our focus and we are limiting our focus. Therefore, ultimately, mind discard all the other objects and really absorb to that object. So mind become unwavering because mind is restricted only to that object. So that is the approach. But here in Chittanupassana, and we are not doing that. We give freedom to the mind. So different objects coming and going, but we can looking at them, we are watching them objectively. We are not being deluded by them. They come and go. They come and go. So as a result of that, since we are not promoting them, since we are not feeding them, there is a situation they don't come. So that's a very different thing, actually. They themselves do not come. They have left the mind, very much like. And we are not being concentrated to any place or any object either. So mind become free because there are no intruders, so there are no any objects at all. As a result of that, mind become free. So that freedom, that tranquility is quite different. Hope you understood.
What I was trying to say, Bhante, that when you are doing the Vedanāpassanā and you go into that from the rapture to the happiness and then you come into this tranquility, then if the body and mind both get affected, it's just it happens very quickly. It doesn't just sort of go in the stages that it's given in stages to for us to understand.
Correct. Yes.
So it happens very quickly, and when the previous speaker said, when you are in that state, you don't get this angry thought. I mean, I keep telling you that. Even though I try to relax, I don't have to relax because my body and mind is very relaxed anyway.
Good. Yeah.
And I'm watching. But then, because we are at a level now where we are pushing down the five hindrances. So
correct.
We are not able to come up. Like, of course, during our daily life when we are walking around, it's coming up all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But in this, at this stage, it is not. It doesn't just come up like that unless you're feeling restless in some way.
No, that's what I am telling. Now, as we are progressing, we don't need to go through very heightened kind of concentration, tranquilizing process at your practice like you do earlier. Now, previously you are keeping your body very restricted and concentrating your mind to breathing, and likewise you are promoting mindfulness, concentration, and you went through that systematic process. But when you are become confident, you don't need to do that. Immediately you simply sit and watch the mind.
Yes.
Now there's a possibility different thoughts might arise. So
in the early stages, yes.
You are not promoting deep concentration here. Rather, you allow the mind to play a little and you start to watch it carefully. Watch it objectively. So now, if the freedom happens in the mind, so that is not because that you are being concentrated to a particular place. Rather, whatever the objects have left your mind.
Yes.
All the distractions have left the mind. As a result of that, now mind is free. So in order to get that freedom, if you restrict your mind and trying to make your mind free, so that is one approach actually. That also may happen at the beginning when you go through the all different steps, Kayanupassana, Vedanupassana, and when you reach Chittanupassana, that kind of an approach is available. But later, as you become more and more confident, you have to purposely loosen your concentration and allow the mind to little play and understand different thoughts, how they try to tempt us, kind of delude us, and now we are applying wisdom just to look at them objectively. And as a result of that, now different kind of wisdom is developing. Now you are not being fooled by these different sankhara, and you can watch sankhara as sankhara, anger as anger, lust as lust, jealousy as jealousy. So likewise, different mental activities you can watch objectively. So that is more and more advanced kind of understanding. So more and more you do that, they leave the mind.
Permanently?
We can't say permanently, because till we have the potential, till we have anusaya asava, so they may arise. But the point is, now anusaya and asava become little diluted. They are not solid now. Slowly their activity becomes slowly evident to us. So that is why kind of understanding is now developing. Here we are not suppressing those tendencies. Rather, we allow them to manifest if they want.
So this is the asavas that we are trying to that has been really underground, and they will come up. That's what I'm hearing.
Yeah.
And then at this level, we can deal with them quite efficiently.
True, and actually that is where Buddha explained how seven enlightenment factors are to be further developed in order to achieve vijja and vimutti. So that practice, actually this supported by viveka, that seclusion, dispassion, cessation. So that is the part that we are more focused on to that process. But I mean, but now I have touched that part in short here. So that is separately explained in this sutta as the last stage.
Okay, I got it. But what I was trying to say was, when these feelings come, it also affects the mind at the same time.
Yes.
One after the other. So it's not like a stage by stage.
Yeah.
But it all happens merging into one.
Mm-hmm. No, actually, actually, as Buddha explained them for our understanding systematically.
Exactly.
And at the beginning, in our early stages of our practice, they actually happens very much like that. And as we are progressing, the previous stages very quickly pass away. I mean, they we can't even notice them.
Yes. Yeah. Right. Thank you, Bhante. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Bhante. Okay. I have three written questions.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm going to send you the next one because the grammar is unfamiliar to me. So, allow me to read it out loud.
Uh-huh.
When watching the breath indifferent, explain to watch like a gatekeeper, not go behind the breath. Other talks, it is explained to watch the whole breath, start, middle, and end. This has confused me for some time. I think this is the first step in step three of Kaya Nupassana. Am I correct, Bhante? I practice rise and fall of abdomen.
Yeah, you are correct. Actually, let me go to Kaya Nupassana section. So your point that you are highlighting is that you are asked to watch without... Sorry, what's the term Jennifer referred? Chat. Let me take the chat. Watch as a gatekeeper. Yeah, true. So you are watching as a gatekeeper. So gatekeeper's task is at the gate. So it is not following the breath. Following in the sense, when breath go inside, pass in the nostril, suppose it is now going to the duct of your nasal duct, and it's going to the lungs. You are not following. You are not going to lungs. You are not going to the nasal duct. Rather, you simply maintain at the nostril. You are simply be there. While be there, you can watch the beginning of the breath. You can see how the middle of the breath now going, and you can see the end of the breath going. Assume that you are watching a procession, perahara in Sinhala, procession. Say candy perahara, you know. Now you stay at a stationary place, and you see the beginning of the perahara. You see the beginning of the procession. And you see the middle of the procession. You see the end of the procession. Same thing here. So you see the beginning of the breath, middle of the breath, end of the breath, while being at the nostril. Yeah. Next section, Jennifer.
Thank you, Bhante. So the next question. Dear Bhante, I was practicing Karuna compassion meditation on a friend's mother. I felt such heaviness that kept dragging my mind downwards, and body felt unpleasant sensations. After the meditation, I was quite physically uncomfortable. Did I practice incorrectly?
Yeah, I feel that you have lost the balance. So when you do Karuna, compassion meditation, we need to maintain balance without we being dragged or we being into kind of that's a beautiful term for that, I can't remember. We can't be a victim of that, the person who is going through the problem. Say there is a kind of a person who is going through some difficulty, to that particular person I am having compassion. But that can't go exceed a limit where I go and cry with that person. I go and latch with that person. I have to have my own balance in order to do that. If you are maintaining that balance, then actually you can't feel tired. So you have your own balance, still you have the empathy, the compassion, and if it requires, you can take an action also. If suppose that he needs a little bit of support, and you can do that as well, while maintaining your balance. So therefore, in this situation, it seems that you couldn't maintain the balance, you become too emotional, too involved, and there may be so many thoughts also might arouse in your mind instead of simply the compassionate quality. So please watch that. So the compassion practice does not encourage any thinking. So it seems that you have thought a lot about that person. There may be things that he did or she did, or the suffering that he is going through, that many imaginations might have gone through in your mind. So those are unnecessary. Those are wrong. Those comes under the prapancha, mental proliferation part. So the compassion practice actually promotes the compassion feeling in yourself, empathetic feeling in yourself, and that doesn't require any thoughts. Yeah.
Okay, thank you, Bhante. The next question is, dear Bhante, I experienced what seems like consciousness coming on and off as if a curtain drawn or a TV unplugged, moment to moment. There's nothing, just blackness, then back to observing my object. Can you please explain what I am experiencing?
Yeah, this is all right. So basically, we experience our mind through different mental objects. So very much like, say, when there is sunlight available, now at night also sunlight available, but there are no objects to reflect. But when the moon is available, moon reflects sunlight, sun rays. As a result of that, it is evident, okay, sun rays are available, that's in the space. But my area being covered because of the front part of the earth, but the sun rays are available in the sky. So that if there are objects available, then those sun rays being reflected. So similarly in our mind, so if there are mental objects, the availability of consciousness is reflected. It's evident. But when there are no objects, it's very much like dark. Nothing to reflect. So therefore, just go through it. Just maintain it. So the absence of any object appear like kind of a darkness. So this darkness is not kind of a lethargic kind of, or lazy type of, or drowsiness type of darkness. It's kind of an absence of any object. So therefore, time to time you are experiencing that absence of objects, and sometimes you experience the presence of objects. So that is what you are experiencing, and just develop it. Nothing to worry. And see how these objects come and go.
So Bhante, with that question, should this state be promoted?
Yes. So don't be afraid of this darkness. This is not a real type of darkness. So this is where there are no objects to manifest in the mind. So it's a kind of absence of any mental objects, perceptions, mental formations, nothing is there. So this empty environment, you feel like darkness. But the beauty is, so you don't need, even if you open your eyes, so then your mind is not dark, but your mind not grasp any object. Signs or thoughts, so say sound, sights, smells, those, everything may be available, but mind doesn't want to grasp. But in order to come to that level, actually at the beginning, what you experience is kind of a darkness, because your eyes are closed. Hope you understood the point. So you are going through some sort of a process, now mind is concentrated and your eyes are closed and different objects come and go, and when they are absent, nothing is there. So you feel like dark. But as you are continuing it, so you can simply maintain this kind of absence of objects, emptiness in the mind, but slowly you can practice it while walking. While your eyes are open, then you don't feel the darkness in the mind. Rather, mind has its own very natural kind of non-grasping level, non-grasping state. It is not dark, by the way, at that time. Yes, I mean, interesting areas, very interesting questions also, and thanks for raising these questions, it's very interesting. And this in a way represent how beautiful and how different angles we have in the practice.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
okay. Okay, I think we can wind up the session now.
Yes, Bhante.
Yeah. Okay, thank you very much for your participation. I like to wind up today's session here because I have another activity, because there is a monk's retreat going on. So with that, we conclude today's sutta teaching session. Let's recite the traditional verses to share our merits. Ettavata ca amhehi sambatam punya sampadam sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhya. Ettavata ca amhehi sambatam punya sampadam sabbe bhuta anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhya. Ettavata ca amhehi sambatam punya sampadam sabbe satta anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhya. Akasattha ca bummattha devanaga mahiddika punyantam anumoditva chiram rakkhantu sasanam. Akasattha ca bummattha devanaga mahiddika punyantam anumoditva chiram rakkhantu desanam. Akasattha ca bummattha devanaga mahiddika punyantam anumoditva chiram rakkhantu mamparam. Idang vo nyati nang hotu sukita huntu nyatayo. Idang vo nyati nang hotu sukita huntu nyatayo. Idang vo nyati nang hotu sukita huntu nyatayo. Imina punya kammena mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yava nibbana pattiya. Imina punya kammena mame bala samagamo satam samagamo hotu yava nibbana pattiya. Imina punya kammena mame bala samagamo satam samagamo hotu yava nibbana pattiya. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.